KB4 CBA Mobile.
BA, N4, say Dave.
N4, is that okay? KB4 CBA. Good evening. I seem to have somebody around me that's got some arc and spark plug wires or something going on.
A lot of noise.
The light turned green. I think it's that Buick behind me. Old, about a 2000 Buick. And, sounds like he needs a new set of plug wires.
Could flag him down and let him know.
I don't think he can afford them. He probably, I probably need to buy them for him. But they were sure crackling, and it sounded just like, you know, spark plug wires arcing, sitting there at the light, and the car was idling, and you could just, I mean, I just recognize that sound, so I pretty much know what it is.
Interference on the radio, or you could just hear the engine?
And just, you could just hear it on the radio. It wasn't bad, but, you know, it was just audible.
Drive Whitehorse Road, which is every day when I'm in my work, or my personal truck. If I pull up next to the city bus, the Greenville city bus that drives up and down here, it's normally it's they run the electric bus up and down this one, and if I'm beside it, I get a ton of interference on my radio.
Everybody has electric vehicles. Good afternoon, KG4LSL.
Good evening, N4ZLK. Yeah, it probably won't be that bad, though, because most of them will be sitting, and they won't be able to get charged.
And because the power grid is not going to hold up to it. But you can't tell anybody anything. Hope everybody's been well. It's been a few days since I've been on here, but just decided to come down here and just sit in the air conditioning a little while.
I'm just dropping my grandson off, headed back to the house.
Moving, Dave, especially when you're shifting gears. And I'm sitting in the air conditioning headed home. And by the way, Dave, I haven't forgotten that little comment you made about the vehicle driving earlier, so I just didn't get a chance to respond. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Dave, I have to ask you, what are you driving?
I have a 2012 Ford Mustang GT, 6-speed manual, and about 420 horsepower, and I cut the mufflers off of it. So the only thing it's got is the catalytic converters, and everything else is just straight pipe.
I mean, cool. I had a Mustang once, and I traded it in for a Chevrolet 2500 heavy duty pickup. Best move I ever made in my life.
Third Mustang had a 90 Fox body and then a 96. That was the first year they had the 4.6 liter in it, and then this one. So and then I had a Toyota Tacoma in between the last two, and it was a four-door, what do you call it, quad cab. But they only had like a five-foot bed. Yeah, what can you haul in a five-foot bed? But anyway, but it was a nice-looking truck, and it was a nice riding truck. It had Michelins on it, set up high, and I really enjoyed it. Certainly didn't have any complaints. I just miss the Mustang and the sound.
I tell you one thing, you can haul in a 5-foot bed a lot more than you can haul in the Mustang.
I wasn't going to say that, but
surprised. I can lay the back seats down and open the trunk and stick stuff through. You'd be surprised what I can haul in this thing.
But I'm I'm losing it over here.
Way back on his, what he got me on earlier, so I still got another, I got to find another backwards compliment for him. Go ahead, Dave.
And toying with the idea of getting a new Toyota 4Runner. I saw one that I really liked, but, you know, I'd have to order it, and who knows how long. It'd probably be 6 or 8 months before I'd get it. It's called a XP Series, or X Series, actually. It says XP on the side of it near the back, and it was all black. It was the rims and everything. It was just everything was black on it, and no chrome on the front or anything. And boy, that thing just really looks. I've always liked 4Runners. My wife has a Highlander, and they're similar in size. The Highlander's on Camry chassis, though. They use subframes, so they just bolt the Camry subframe to the Highlander.
That would be a good move. The Toyotas, I don't have a bad word to say about a Toyota. I had a 1987 Toyota pickup. I paid $1,500 for that truck. I drove it 300,000 miles and finally wrecked it and totaled it, and still got more out of it when I totaled it than what I paid for it. So, yeah. The only reason I bought my truck is because I was going into a landscaping business, and I had to have that 2500 series pickup, and I looked at a Ford F-250 and an F-350, and they were both used, had almost 100,000 miles on them, and when they told me they wanted 80 grand for them, I went to the Chevrolet dealership, and I said, yep, I'm just going to go back to Chevrolet and stay there. So it was a good choice. I still have the truck that I was in my accident in that it ultimately disabled me, and still looks and drives like new. Got almost 100,000 miles on it now.
Off of that 80,000 for my F-250, I'd sell it in a heartbeat. Goodness gracious.
I thought they were crazy as all get out. I even looked at a Dodge, and they wanted like 50,000 for it, and it had almost 100,000 miles on it. And when I looked at mine, it had 23,000, and it was, you know, 8 months old, and it was 40. So I bought it.
Bad spot here on Wade Hampton. I don't even know if I'm hitting the repeater. That's hard to believe. Dodge had 50,000. I mean, had I can't remember what you said about what year it was or something, and they wanted 50,000 miles for it. That's $50,000 for it. I mean, that is unreal.
I think 4 years old.
Yes. I found this one. It's an 02, but it only had 104,000 miles on it, and I paid $20,000 for it at the time, and which I thought, you know, it was a lot of money for a truck, or for me anyway, but I thought the truck was worth it, and it's been worth it, but of course, brand new ones were, you know, they were already selling, like you were saying, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I can't do that for a vehicle.
A lot of dere me. I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to spend that kind of money on a vehicle.
To give you a little insight on what the car industry is doing right now, it's nuts. I had a friend of mine that worked at a Chevrolet dealership in West Georgia, and he asked me one day. He says, "Hey, man, you ready to trade in your 2500 on a new one?" I said, "That depends." And I asked him, I says, "How much is a new one, gas engine, because I will not have any diesels that are newer because of the exhaust systems. Four-wheel drive, you know, same package that I've got. He says, oh, they're only about 65,000. And now I don't have the stripped-down model, but I don't have the LT's, the Z71 package. And I said, well, how much will you give me for mine? He says, I can get you $48,000 for it, which is more than what I paid for it, even with the accident. And I said, no, I'm almost done paying for it. I'll just keep it.
Blame you. Mine's worth $5,000 more than what I paid for it right now. So, you know, and it's paid for. Well, I got to jump out of here a minute, running the grocery store. I'll be back in a minute if y'all still in there, but I got to say 73s for now. KB4CBA.
Be careful, Dave. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Jim.
Be careful, yeah, definitely. I'll be around. I'm sitting here, and I'm watching FT8 go by, which if you're on HF at all, 17 meters is just on fire and has been on fire all day long. You know, I'm here. My wife got home from work here just a little bit ago, and she's doing a little bit of work beside me. And so I'm just playing on the radios.
Well, 17 meters when I get home. 20 meters was wide open last night. Made some really good contacts and beautiful signals coming out of Europe. That was a lot of fun.
South Korea this morning. A few here stateside, Germany, Italy, Panama, Netherlands, another Italian. I mean, it's just, and I'm seeing, I saw a Russian station come in a few minutes ago. I was not able to make that one. He got a pile up quick. And, you know, I'm just seeing them from all over the world. Croatia's in there, Netherlands, Germany. It's pretty loaded up. KG4 LSL for license identification and preservation purposes.
FTA going. I'm still on phone. I'm working on CW because I'd like to get into that. I know people do it. I just don't feel like it right now anyway. I enjoy QSOs and, you know, hearing people's voices and things like that.
I enjoy some single sideband phone, and I'm still brushing back up on my CW. I haven't used it since the day I passed my test for general. And so, you know, I use FT8 when I might be having something going on in the house here, you know, cooking dinner, playing with the kids, whatever. I'll get on FT8 and just kind of hot bands a little bit and just see what I can get, and really helps me see what propagation looks like, and then I'll start tuning up on the voice portions of it and start making contacts that way.
Be a good marker, like a beacon, tell you how propagation is. Jimmy, what brought you up this way? I think you're from the Atlanta area, is that correct?
My wife and I, we are, and kids, we are refugees from the Atlanta area and are very glad to be in this area. My wife is an environmental geologist, and she had some crazy stuff happened in Atlanta with the job markets and what have you. So, you know, she had applied all over the region. And this company called her up and said, hey, are you still interested in coming to work for us? Because if you are, we'd love to interview you. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, she's up here working in Greenville. And I was down in Lithia Springs getting the house ready to sell.
Yeah, that's really good. It's nice when people seek you out in an economy like this. Does she have to go into office here in Greenville, or should she be able to work at home?
She's in real bad of a drive. You know, I think 30 miles to her office there, and it takes her literally 30 minutes to get back and forth to work. We were 30 miles away from her other office in Atlanta, and it was on average an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to work, and anywhere from 2 to 3 hours to get home. So the crazy part of this moving story is my parents decided to get out of the rental home business and sold all of their properties and bought a house up in Westminster on the lake. And I think the day they closed or the day after they closed is when my wife got the call from the new company. And so, yeah, my wife moved into my parents' basement of their new lake house before even my parents moved into it. So it was kind of a crazy, fast action turn of events. And then, you know, when we decided to move up here, well, my aunt decided, well, I don't want to be in Georgia anymore either. So she came up here with us.
That's a neat story. Did your parents come up from the Georgia area too, or were they around here?
The Georgia area as well. They lived about 40 miles west of Atlanta. I was 15 miles west of Atlanta. And we loved to camp. And when I say camp, we glamp. You know, 35-foot Class A is what my parents have, and I've got a 25-foot bumper pull. And we came up here. I just bought my boat, and they said, hey, we're going up to Lake Hartwell to go camping. If you want to bring the boat, you can just stay in the RV with us. So I brought the boat up there. We just kind of cruised around the lake and checked it out. They fell in love with the place. 2 years later, they bought one.
Very enticing area. Got some beautiful lakes and the mountains, and not too far away from the beach if you want to go there. We enjoy going to the beach too, but we moved up right at the base of the foothills along Highway 11. Right off Highway 11, 4 years ago, maybe almost 5 years ago, trying to get out of the crowded Greenville, southeastern Greenville area. It was really getting crowded down there. It's a little bit of a drive. I have 30 miles to go to work now, but I drive all day, so it's not that big of a deal.
And my wife is originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina, so when we were in Atlanta, it was anywhere from 8 to 10 hours to get to her parents' house. And so, you know, it really made visiting very difficult. So, you know, the added blessing to that is, you know, her parents are 4.5 hours away now. And, you know, so we can just take a weekend and take off to Fayetteville, and my wife can enjoy some time with her horse. And, you know, we visit with family, and it's just a whole better situation all around. My stress level and her stress level as well has just come down so much from when we were living in Atlanta. It's a huge blessing. We love this place, and it's almost like moving to a different country, and we denounce Georgia.
Okay, well, I think you can move out of Atlanta to any other parts of Georgia, and it's almost like a different country.
Well, you can say that one again.
Atlanta at night, drove down there for a year. Exit 96, right before Spaghetti Junction, we have a building there, and then off 285, right, and at one exit, you get on 20, and one exit later, we had two buildings there now. They just built a new smart hub down there, and big difference in the nighttime than in the daytime driving on those roads.
I actually call Spaghetti Junction Malfunction Junction, and pretty much anybody in Gwinnett County does not know how to drive even the speed limit, so it's unreal. And, you know, just the traffic, the idiot drivers, you know, the drugs that are around there, we were just done.
sectors are governed at 68 miles an hour, and sometimes I'd bobtail back from, you know, 20 and 285 back over to 90, the exit 96 there at 85. And sometimes I'd come through town if I was bobtailing because I didn't have a trailer. I could do that, obviously, bobtailing. But I'd be, you know, going full speed as fast as the tractor would go, and it was amazing. I'd have cars pass me on that road. I guess it's, you know, 85 coming out of Atlanta North. I wouldn't even see them coming in my mirror. And, of course, there wasn't a lot of traffic at nighttime. I remember a Mustang went by me, a convertible, and there was a guy standing up in the back seat with his arms straight up like he was riding a roller coaster. He was standing on the floorboard, I guess, but he had his arms straight up. And I don't know what they were doing, but they flew by me like I was standing still.
Coming to see that type of behavior, and then now they started where these guys are getting out and doing donuts in the middle of the intersections, and you know, the just driving stupid. I have seen cars doing well over 120, 140 miles an hour in the left-hand lane and zigzagging in and out of traffic. I've watched motorcycles do it, and, you know, that's just, it's unsafe. So I constantly was on pins and needles every time my wife was on the road out there because it was just ridiculous. KG4LSL.
Motorcycles went by, and the thing was, you know, I check my mirrors real regular, not as much as they would like me to do. You know, they train me every 5 to 8 seconds checking your side mirrors, and I know there's times I go longer than that, obviously, but I would have motorcycles fly by me that I didn't even know were coming. They were, you know, in long stretches of interstate, they were moving so fast that I didn't even see them coming up behind me. If I had just changed the lane, you know, at the last minute, there's no telling where they would have gone.
And it's like that all over Atlanta. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. So, you know, we are very blessed. We feel very blessed and very fortunate to be here. You know, I've met my neighbors. You know, I've got one of them that is a DJ for a bluegrass station here in Anderson. And, you know, just super nice folks. They really are, and they look out for one another, and I'm just really glad to be a part of this whole state and be able to call this state home.
People around. It's definitely grown, especially in the last 5 years, 5 to 10 years. This area is really just booming. But it's still many, many good people around. And 4ZLK.
Last two. When we were moving here, the last thing we had to go and get was my dad's Class A motorhome and my travel trailer. So we pull up, I hitch up to my travel trailer, he's getting his you know, Class A ready to roll. He starts it up, and it's on a GM Workhorse chassis with a 454 in it. He started it up and scared me. Somebody, within a day or two of us getting there to pick it up, stole the catalytic converters off of it, messed up the oil cooler, and did some other damage to it. A little over $10,000 worth of damage to this motorhome.
Some people will work really hard to not have to work at a job.
Laziness is all it is. But what are you going to do? I guess, you know, the insurance took care of it, thank the Lord. But, you know, so now we're just happy to be here.
KPA. N4ZLK.
They were filling the third one when I got there, so I had three prescriptions, so I don't know what took so long, because boom, boom, as soon as I got home, I got texts that they had filled the first two, so I don't know why it took them an hour and a half to fill the third one, but anyway, who knows? I was just saying, you know, I I took my cats off of my 96 Mustang. It had six cats on it. And so I just put a off-road X-pipe on it. And I put MIL eliminator so that on the downstream O2 sensor so that it wouldn't throw a code. Because those O2s can't see the same thing that the upstream ones are seeing, or that are ahead of the cat. If they do see the same thing, then your cat's washed out and it's going to throw a code. So anyway, and I took it, this was all one piece. All six cats had a H pipe going across, cross pipe, and I just had to take 2, 4, 6, 8 bolts out and drop it, and then put the X pipe in, and I could not get rid of that. Where do these guys go with this stuff? Because nobody would take it. They said, we cannot legally take that from you, a junkyard. I mean, nobody would take it.
No, as a former mechanic, I certainly don't know. I was thinking the same thing. What do they do with those when they steal them? I know there's components in them or types of some of the, what am I thinking? I don't know if there's copper in there, but they do stuff with that, don't they?
There are three different types of precious metals in each one of those catalytic converters. And what they do is they cut it. They'll cut them open, and they'll get the metals out and separate them. And then they sell for $75 a gram for each one of these metals. So that's why they're doing it. And a lot of these people, they'll take them to, they'll go cut them off, take them to another guy down the street. The guy down the street will cut them apart and usually help split the money with the ones doing the stealing of them. So, it's kind of one of those government, what's the best way to put this, government-induced crime, KG4LFL.
It's crazy. I mean, I couldn't get rid of that thing. We rented a house for a year on right off Augusta Road, and I just left it in the garage, laying up against the wall. I didn't know what else to do with it. I mean, I couldn't take it to the dump. They wouldn't take it. You know, nobody would take it. And this metal guy, junk metal guy, used to come by John Finger when I worked there, John Finger Mazda. And he would pick up, you know, the discarded brake drums and rotors and, you know, stuff like that. And he told me he'd give me $75 for it. I thought, well, dang, if he'll give me $75, then I'll take it to a junkyard. I'd probably get, you know, twice that. And then I'll take it to a junkyard, and they won't give me anything. And then that metal guy quit coming.
And you lost all of it.
So I know where six cats are sitting. If anybody wants, you'd have to break in the garage to get them, but that wouldn't be hard because that thing looks like it's about to fall over anyway. Oh Lordy, I'm so glad we moved out of that place, man. It was a nice location, but it was almost right at the intersection of West Ferris and Augusta, but and we could walk to restaurants and everything, but man, just a little spot of land right there was like $1 million. If you put a house on it, then good Lord, you could put an outhouse on a piece of land there and it'd be worth $1 million.
Not being greedy though. Snap-on, Macco, Mac, they all like their money, and, well, you know, got to survive somehow. Hi. Been there, done that. That's what it is. It's the precious metals. Those six cats would have probably netted the scrap metal guy $500-$600, maybe a little more.
No. But I stood there. I just couldn't believe it when I stood there with that thing at the junkyard and the guy wouldn't take it. He said, I can take it. He said, it's illegal for me to take it. And he said, you've got to have a license or something to give it to me. If I could take it, and I can't take it, and I'm just sitting here going, this blows my mind. I said, this is a piece of junk. I just want to get rid of it, you know? But anyway, it was educating, that was for sure. Well, I'm going to jump out of here. I'm sitting here getting ready to pull in the garage, so y'all have a good evening, and I'm going to go and take some of these drugs the doctor gave me and see what happens. They're for my back. I've got a pinched nerve. But anyway, 73, gentlemen. Talk to you later, KP4CBA.
Good evening. I just drove by a mama bear and two cubs. She's sitting on the side of the road. Anyway, one of the cubs ran back up in the woods. Have a good night. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, take care of that back, man. After two back surgeries, I am now disabled because of an accident. That's another story for another time. Surgeon screwed me up worse than when I went in for it. So, yeah, take care of the back and get it feeling better, and we'll talk to you later on down the log. KG4LSL and a bear and her cubs. That's cool.
That's one thing I like about living up here is seeing those kind of things. I've had them go through the yard a few times, too. I'm almost home, but they're all over up here and probably down your way, too.
Got deer around here. Haven't seen any bears yet. But, you know, one of my hobbies is nature photography and wildlife photography. And I'm actually about to start working on a meditation channel on YouTube just to give me something to do, you know, taking drone photography and videos of the in the lake and you know, just different little excursions that I have when I'm able to do so. So, I mean, that was another thing that I absolutely love about this area up here. You're not far from the mountains. We camp every year for 4th of July. We go up to Whittier and Bryson City, North Carolina camping. And it used to take us 6.5 to 7 hours to get there. And now it takes 2.5 pulling a camper, so we're really happy about that.
N4ZLK.
Good evening, gentlemen. You too, Shane. Anyways, I heard you talking on the way home from Ingles there a minute ago, and those catalytic converters, and now I'm an old timer, so they used to have platinum in them, and that was one of the rare minerals they were looking for. And I think I sent you the picture of the mama bear and her three cubs out in my backyard, didn't I, Shane?
Not from you. No, I have not gotten a picture of a bear from you.
Bear had his camera about 15 yards away from mine, and he caught a mama bear and three cubs down there, but he said they wouldn't stay long. And they didn't. They didn't stay around but a few days, and they were eating the corn that he put out for the deer. So I'll pass it over to the other gentleman. I didn't catch his name, but my name's Tom, and I'm located in Greer. And my wife and I are immigrants from Kansas about 12 or 13 years ago. And we love it here, too.
It's Jimmy, KG4LSL down here in Centerville, Anderson area. And to answer the question, there's platinum, palladium, and rhodium are the ones that are very expensive that they're after. And, yeah, they're $75 a gram So, a lot of money for a little bit of metal.
I used to have a Hillier CNC machine in the old days that I worked on, and it was a three-axis job. And it had rhodium and palladium contact in the binary encoder disc. So I was going to say rhodium also, but I wasn't sure, but I knew there was platinum in there. Yeah, go ahead, Shane.
Interesting, and I've never heard why they need those in there. I know there's, but Tom, if you got that picture, you know, you can email it. I'm good on QRZ. I'd like to see that, and I'll try to send some that I've got from over here. Jimmy, good to talk to you. I'm pulling in the driveway. Tom, I'm going to try to do some more code practice tonight a little bit. Tonight's slow night on W1AW. I was listening to Fast Night last night and waiting for it to get down to where I could copy it, and then 20 meters was open. I ended up making some contacts, but, oh, I did have one other question, Tom, before I go. Did you use that, for that antenna that you built, the 160, did you use that coated, copper-clad coated wire from Wireman?
I did. I like that, I think it's a 513 Silky that N4IQ told me about, but this is working just great, and it's cheap. I think it was 22 cents a foot or something like that, Shane. That's exactly what I use. It's kind of a bear. It wants to act like a coil spring, you know, when you take it and stretch it out. But like Bob said, ND7J said, stretch it out and let it kind of get the kinks out of it for a while. It's still not the greatest pleasure in the world, but we got her up there.
Okay, the reason I asked, I was looking on Wireman, and they had two different gauges, and I was just curious if you knew which one. I think there was an 18-gauge and either a 16 or 14. I can't remember exactly, but I think one of them was definitely 18-gauge.
Probably is. It's, gosh, it's been a little while since we put that up. I was thinking it was about 5/64 in diameter, but... They usually rate that in circular mills and all that stuff, so I don't want to get into that. But it's pretty darn small, I'll say that, Shane. But Chad, come over and help me put the inverted L out. It's doing great. It tunes all over the place. And I haven't used it a great deal because 160 is a winter band, but I've used it on 40... And I might have used it on 80 the other night, and I've used it on several other bands above that, 10 and 20, I think. I think they rate it up to 10 meters, or 10 meters, 30 meters, 10 megacycles. I think I've read that. And I know it will tune it. I'm positive of that without any great losses, Shane.
I didn't know if the two gauges would make that much difference in the width of the coverage on the bands.
Well, the old timers say it does a little bit. I know one time my super loop, I made it out of 12 gauge, and they said it'd have a little wider bandwidth, but it was just THHN from, you can buy that at any Lowe's, you know. But it lasted good. It's stranded though, it's not solid. And now you can buy it in solid. I never thought about that at the time. I just put up stranded and it lasted for several years. And I didn't see any difference in the two at all. But I never dreamed this copper clad steel would work that well. But, you know, it's a skin effect and the RF rides on the skin on it, Shane, in 0GR.
Hoping to hear you today. I was going to ask you that. And Jimmy, I didn't mean to leave you out, but I'm here at the driveway and the dog's sitting there staring at me like she wants something, so I better go in. Good to talk to both of you. Jimmy, have a good night. Hope to talk to you again. Tom, thank you. Hello to Miss Bernice, and we'll see you all later. N4ZLK.
Fine, Shane. Hit me up on QRZ. My email address is there, and hey, maybe we can get a rag chew session going on HF sometime. Voice. That would be a lot of fun. Would really enjoy it. And yeah, I'll probably be around most of the day tomorrow. I kind of overdid it today, and my back and my leg are screaming at me, so it'll probably be a radio day tomorrow. And, yeah, Tom, I'd be really interested to hear or to see that antenna, and that's something I'm kind of getting into, is building my own stuff and you know, experimenting with it, trying to keep busy. KG4LSL.
I'm Jimmy, LSL, for my feeble mind here. Jimmy, you're welcome to come over anytime, and I'm good on QRZ, and if you'll send me an email, I'll send you my phone number, and it's very easy to remember. It's just all lowercase Tom, and then it's my call sign, n0tr@gmail.com. And if you'll send me an email, I'll send you my phone number. That would be the only requisite if I'm going to, you know, the grocery store, to a doctor's appointment or something. But you're welcome to come on up anyways. You can walk way out in the backyard and look at it. And I got good neighbors here, so all you got to do is identify yourself. Otherwise, you might find yourself looking down the wrong end of a gun barrel or something.
Yeah, no, I'm usually one of those type of people. I don't like to show up unless they know I'm coming. And, yeah, I'm sending you an email right now, and I am sending you I'll put my my phone number in it as well. And the message is coming through Outlook.
I'll now send that back to you in just a few minutes here. I was sitting here eating my mass consumables, custard pie that Bernice made. We just got back from Ingles. And 73 is Shane, and talk to you down the line. So maybe we can get together then. It'd be my pleasure. Come on up and we can operate a little. What class license do you have, Jimmy?
That sounds phenomenal. I am a general class. Now I'm trying to study for my extra, but you know, it's one of those, I'm kind of having a hard time getting into it and just doing the hardcore studying.
Questions takes that. I've got several, but yeah, well, we can do whatever we want, Jimmy, because I got an extra class, so, but anything within the law, and as long as I'm here, you can talk wherever you want, I think. It's been so long since I looked at them rules. I passed mine about, I was 93, so 03, 13, 23, 29 years ago. So I don't remember everything now. Well, Jimmy, I'll let you go. And again, it's great hearing you, and I remember you now. But I just caught a little bit of it on the way home from Ingles, which is just 4.7 miles over there. And I enjoyed listening to you and Dave and Shane, so I didn't want to interrupt. But I did think about that platinum in those converters. I have a camera out there, and very bright light. It looks like you drove into the sun. Another solar light. And if someone touches my truck, even in the slightest bit, like if lightning hits real hard, it sets off the alarm. So unless they run over 1,000 foot a second, I think they better go down to the neighbor's place.
I can agree with you. And, yeah, the rhodium that we were talking about earlier, right now is about $18,000 an ounce. So that's why the thieves are all getting every one of them that they can steal. And yeah, it would be a great idea to just pass my house by as well. Well, Tom, I'll let you get out of here and enjoy that custard pie, and we'll probably talk to you tomorrow. I'll probably be on here from the time I get up until the time I'm not on the radio anymore. Very profound, I know. 73, sir, and we'll talk to you later on. N0TR, KG4LSL.
Okay, Jimmy, have a good night, and I'm going to go down to the radio room in the basement and see what I can hear. I worked, I think three Russian stations last night, and one in Hungary, and I can't remember the other one now. Just fooling around. The wife was watching TV, and I was sitting over there doing CW. But the Russian's been pretty frequent lately. I'm 20 meters late of an evening, and I don't need them by any means, but I always work them because they're real good CW operators. But I was raised during the Cold War and in the service during the Cold War. And I'm just assuming these guys don't have, if they're far from Moscow, I'll work them. If they're anywhere near Moscow, I generally pass on that. Because I don't approve of what they're doing out there, or the Chinese. Anyways, that's because I'm an old goat, I guess. Jimmy, have a good night. And 73's KG4LSL and 0TR, clear.
Understood and very well put, sir. And, shoot me a text or an email, and if we all want to get together and get on HF, I'll turn the dial up and get it started. And right now, I just turned on FT8 on 20, and it is packed. So there you go. Propagation seems to be real heavy into Europe, and there's quite a bit of North America in here as well. 73, Tom. Talk to you later. KG4LSO. I'll be clear and listening.
Yeah, I see 28 on 10115. That's CW. I don't do FT8, but yeah, there is a lot of FT8 up there. I wish I had a separate page for it to make it easier for us older guys, but looking down the line there, the only thing I see unusual is an Alpha 71. But he's talking to a Russian, so we're probably not going to hear him over here. And there's a Kuwait on 17 meters on FT8. So maybe it'll be promising. The sunspots are up, so it might be promising later on this evening. And there's a 3 Alpha up there on 20 meters CW. Oh, that's just the Netherlands. Okay, Jimmy, 73, and good night. KG4LSL and 0TR.
4LSL.